Matthew's Gospels, chapter 5, and they all begin with this word, blessed. In fact, it says, blessed are. In our second week, I've lost my slides already. In our second week, we looked at a Greek word. This Greek word here is, my Greek is terrible, I apologize, is marikos. I don't know if that's true. Richard, was that close enough?
Makarios.
That was close. Hey, as I said, not good at Greek. And what does that translate into, Richard?
Makarios.
See, now I've got him because I know what it means.
When something is magnificent.
Yeah, when it is blessed. It's translated in our scriptures as blessed. But the truth is that this word is more than just happy is. This word is used to describe a sense of inner satisfaction. And last week we looked at this idea that there are the first four of these Beatitudes, they build on each other. The first is this concept of being poor in spirit. The idea is that we know, or those who are poor in spirit know, that we need God to do something. We need God to intervene. That leads us into mourning because we can't do it ourselves. And it leads us into mourning our sin especially. This leads us into a change of attitude that it's not all brash and that's the only way I can describe it is But it leads us into an attitude of meekness. And it also leads to us changing our hunger, our desire for things, to what God thirsts and hungers for. These first four Beatitudes deal with the inwardness of faith. There are five more to come, and they deal with an outward expression. Today we're going to look at the first one, and that is to become merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy and forgiveness go hand in hand. Mercy and forgiveness is what God demonstrates. It's what God demonstrates to an undeserving sinner. It's what God demonstrates to an undeserving sinner that is us. But did you know the manner in which we forgive people is going to be the manner which we are forgiven? This beatitude here shows us a law of sowing and reaping. You know this concept? Yeah, what you put in is what you will get out. It comes up in the Lord's Prayer as well. This idea of mercy and forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who are our debtors." Or forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We are expected to show mercy. We are expected to show forgiveness. Jesus is saying in this beatitude that you get what you give. It's the law of direct returns. Have you ever noticed that when you're a little bit gruff with people, people start becoming gruff with you? Does that happen to anyone else besides me? Like if I'm in a bad mood and I, let it leak out just a little bit too much, especially when I'm like shopping and stuff, the sales assistant gets gruffy with me. No, does it? Okay, just happens to me? No, that's okay. If it does, I'm willing to accept it. But when you show kindness, when you show a willingness to, wait a couple of seconds longer than you should, they start being kinder to you. It's what happens. If you show a person mercy, the idea is that they would show mercy to you. So today I wanted to put to you a definition of mercy, and that is love in action. So how do you know if you are showing mercy? How do you know? I mean, like, it's not like we live in a war-torn country where showing mercy means not killing the enemy. We live in a pretty stable environment. So how do we show mercy? And the first way that we show mercy is this. We are patient with people who are different from me. Now, I want to put to you, in life, there are more than a few nuts that have fallen around us, right? Yeah? In every life, there are people who are just plain peculiar. There are those people who it seems in the elevator of life, they don't get to the top floor. Are you feeling me? Can you all think of someone like that? Please don't nudge your husband or wife next to you. Now, you know that they're a good egg, but they just happen to be a little bit cracked. So how do you handle these people? Well, the Bible tells us how we should handle them. The Bible says, says this, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." 1 Thessalonians 5:14. So how do you be patient with people, especially those who are different? The best way to be patient with people is to what? Learn about them. Learn their background. When you understand where a person has come from, you're more patient with that person. There's the old saying, try to walk 1.609 kilometers in their shoes. That's a mile in metric, in case, for us younger people. Yeah, yeah. Do you like my nerdy joke? Yep. All right. Look, we need to try and understand people are hurt in this world. We need to understand their hurt and we need to understand their struggles. With my kids, I try hard and I try and remind them, look, you be nice to people because you do not know right now what they're struggling with. You know, they could be having the worst day in their life. So we've got to understand and we've got to try and understand their hurts and their struggles. We need to slow down on our quickness to criticize or judge. It's happened to me twice in the past couple of weeks. I've turned out of a T intersection and a car's coming the other way and it's going way too quick. And I get the hand, you know, what are you doing? Like, you can see it. I'm like, I'm turning the corner. Maybe if we slow down a little bit and be less quick to judge. See, merciful people are accepting people. They realize that hurting people are likely to hurt people. But God wants us to be patient with everyone, especially those that are different from us. Even if they don't see things the same way we do. Even if they don't act just like us. The next thing is that if we're to be merciful, we are to forgive those who have fallen. When people make mistakes, do you hold on to it? Do you hold it above their head? Do you sit there every time you see them and remind them of the mistakes that they have made? Or do you treat the person, as like, what do I put here? As it has never happened. A few years ago, I was in a Bible study and we had this interesting discussion. You've heard the old saying, to forgive and forget. Yeah? In our Bible study, this person was adamant that it was in the Bible. Do you think it's in the Bible? Forgive and forget is not actually in the Bible. To tell you the truth, it's just not found. But what is found is this picture of a God who forgives. And this picture is that God forgives and he removes it from us. It's not that God forgets. Or as I like to imagine it, God gets holy amnesia. You know, every time you confess, it's like you're bumping him on the head and he just forgets about it. No, I'm sure God actually could remember it. He could look at us and say, you know what? I actually can see everything that you have done wrong in our relationship. I'm sure God would sit there and go, you know what? I could easily put the screws to you. But instead, he chooses, when we ask for forgiveness, to treat us as if it has never happened. He treats us as though we have never sinned. He acts towards us in a way that expresses that we have never done anything wrong. That is a picture of mercy. That is a true picture of forgiveness. God knows exactly what I've done. He knows every detail. Yet he treats me and he treats you as if it had never happened. This is what the Message Bible says in Colossians. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Merciful people are forgiving people. Merciful people forgive those who have fallen and made mistakes. The next way that we can be people of mercy is to help those who are hurting. The Bible tells us over and over again that we are to help those around us. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3. Never walk away from someone who deserves your help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Do you get that picture? We are to help those who are hurting in our world. Remember, mercy is love in action. And we live in a world where people all around us are hurting. You hurt, I hurt. We all hurt. Everybody hurts. Everybody hurts. Sorry. I really should take some singing lessons one day. It might make those jokes a little bit more palatable. My friends, mercy is helping hurting people. You know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Like, you've heard it 1,000 times. We live in a world today where it seems that we are living the Good Samaritan. The religious people walk by and say, I'm not going to get involved. It's not just one religious person, it's two in the story. Two religious people, two people that you would say, oh no, they're the good guys in the story. They walk past someone who needs help. And who is the person who does help? The mortal enemy of the guy who's injured. Not only does he get in and help, he picks the guy up, takes him to the nearest hospital, leaves his credit card and says, you know what, I'll be back in a couple of days to settle up the bill. And when Jesus tells this story, he asks, who is the one who shows mercy here? Not the religious people, but the enemy. And Jesus calls us to be merciful. I wonder if one day when we get to those magical pearly gates, and if it was a really bad joke, St. Peter would be there, but I wonder if we get there, if we're going to be judged on the way we have treated other people. I mean, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? The king replies, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." There's going to be a point when God's going to ask you, "Did you do what I called you to do?" And God's going to ask us, "How did we treat other people?" And I think he's going to ask the point, "How did you treat those in this world who are hurting?" I hope when I get those questions asked, that God will say, "I can see that you have shown mercy." Mercy moves on. To be merciful, it's to do good to our enemies. Luke 6, 35 and 36. "But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be like children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." When I left school in year 12, I got a job in Big W, and there was a security officer there. Now, she obviously was there, you know, watching all the bad guys, making sure they didn't steal anything. And she was talking to me one day, and she was relating this story. She worked at a different store, and this one lady was really mean to her all the time. Just like, you know, blanked her in conversations, did the whole barrier. Have you ever had a barrier person? You know, you're talking to someone and they'll come and stand in the middle and then with their back to you, just ignoring you. Like, this is what this person happened. This happened to this person, I should say. So this lady said, "You know what, I could get really vindictive here and I could make her life harder. You know, I could get on the gossip train or I could, you know, do this or do that." But she said, "No, I went about it completely different. Every day I saw her, I walked up to her and I said, 'Do you know what? So great to see you today. How are you going?' And do you know what that person did? Just blanked her. Yeah, fine, yeah, whatever." And over time, slowly, this person's attitude changed. And one day, as this security officer was going to apprehend a person, this person pulled out a knife. And from out of nowhere, this other lady just went, pow, and punched her. The enemy changed. Do good to your enemies, and one day they will reward you by punching some random person in the face with a knife. If you want to look more like God, then you should show mercy, even to those you do not like, even to those who make your life difficult. Do good to those who do evil to you. Because that is exactly the opposite of what society says we should do. Society says when people hurt you, you should hurt them back. Is that a fair call? That's how we treat people. So society says get even. Society says gossip about them, talk behind their back, destroy them, do anything you can to get even. But God says, no, that's not the image for the church. Be merciful just as I am merciful. Forgive just as I forgive you. Tomorrow morning, we're going to go into work or into school, and that guy's going to be there. That jerk. The guy that is constantly on our back. Truth is, he's still going to be a jerk tomorrow. But the Bible says you are to show him mercy. You are to show mercy to the people who are the jerks in our lives. How would it be that every time that person criticizes you, you compliment them? Can I tell you something? It messes with their head. It does. It would set them off balance. I'm not saying we should do that just to set them off balance, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. When someone offends you, we shouldn't go on the defense, we should go on the offense, and the offense should be mercy. We need to look for ways to love our enemies. We need to look for ways to be merciful instead of hateful. Why? Because Daryl said so on Sunday morning. No, because God wants us to. The best way to eliminate an enemy is to turn them into a friend. That was what the security guard did with that work colleague. She turned her into a friend. You smother their meanness with kindness. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do with it. And suddenly, you've become in control of this situation. You're on the offensive, not the defensive. And you are putting into practice the mercy is love in action principle. There's two reasons that we need to show mercy, I think. We looked at the four marks of what mercy is, but we need two reasons. And the first reason is this, that God has been merciful to us. Someone once said, if our greatest need for information was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But our greatest need from God is mercy. So God sent a savior. God has shown mercy to us. We should show mercy to others. Again, we go back to our Bible reading from Luke. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be like children of the Most High. Because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. God wants us, as His church, to be like Him in the world. In fact, becoming a Christian, the whole principle behind it is becoming more like Christ. Becoming godly because it is like God. And God has shown us mercy, so we need to show mercy too. The fact is, look, we're not perfect. Christians are not perfect. Open a newspaper and you will see it. But we are forgiven. Since we are forgiven, we should be the most forgiving people in the world. We have been shown mercy. We should be the most merciful people around. We all or to give out what we have received from God. God has given us love. We should love others. God has given us kindness. We should be kind to others. God has given us forgiveness. We need to forgive others. God has given us mercy. We need to show mercy to others. Because that is who God is. That is what God has shown us. And we need to show mercy because that is what comes back to us. Again, Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Did you notice that that is a promise verse? The merciful will be shown mercy. That's that law of returns. You reap what you sow. What you give out is what you're going to get back. Proverbs 11:17-18. When you were kind to others, you help yourself. When you are cruel to others, you hurt yourself. Bad work gets paid with a bad check. Good work gets solid pay. We ought to be merciful people simply because we reap what we sow. It's a boomerang blessing. You give, you get. So the question is, how do we get mercy? How do I become a merciful person? The starting point is that we first must experience the mercy of our God. We cannot offer mercy to anyone you have... You cannot offer mercy to anyone until you first have received it. You cannot be a forgiving person unless you have been forgiven. The starting point is that we must receive God's mercy. And that is the challenge for us. That we need to come before God and humble ourselves. For we need Him. And we need to express that outwardly. Let us pray. Father, we come before You. And we acknowledge that at times we have really stuffed this up. At times we have shown hatred and hurt to those who have hurt us. Father, we ask for Your forgiveness and pray that You would return us to that ability to forgive those who have hurt us. Father, we pray that You would act in our lives, that we would look more like You in a world that desperately needs the true picture of You. Father, we pray, help us to offer mercy to those who need it most. Amen. I'll invite the worship team to come and lead us.
During this song, the offering of Israel.